1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read about four verses today, and we are going to start at verse 14. Bible says, the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we then are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we can struggle with your resurrection. Lord, we can struggle with what it truly means to us. Lord, as the disciples struggled, they walked with you. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit to understand all the impact of your resurrection. That we have hope for tomorrow. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Hope for tomorrow. Many of us need hope. I mentioned at the opening of service that Tosimi passed away yesterday afternoon. And we were at the hospital. Doctor said that nothing was really wrong with her. Didn't have a heart attack. That it was just her time. That she passed laying in the tub. I mean, if I could choose a way to slip into the arms of our Lord, that sounds pretty good. In the midst of all the drama, in the midst of all the pain and the crying and the sorrow, Elsie was talking to her brother, who is a pastor in Guam. And he said, "I am waiting to see my mom again. Amen. That it's not done yet. And that I am going to see her again." Amen? Amen? It is the resurrection of Jesus that makes that hope possible. That he is indeed the firstborn from among the dead. That we might follow in him and find new life. Amen?
Amen?
We're talking about the resurrection. We are talking about the impact of the resurrection on our lives right now. That our lives are indeed changed by the resurrection. And I dare say that Tosimi today is celebrating the grandest resurrection day that she has ever seen. They were debating how old she was. 76, last count. Is that correct? Aaron was saying, no, she's 90. You know what? She was such a sweet lady. Yes. She would come forward every Sunday and pray, and she had so many kids. And she never, rarely prayed for herself. And she would pray, "I want to pray for my daughter. I'm going to pray for my son-in-law. I'm going to pray for my granddaughter." And just go on and on and on. I couldn't keep track after a while. Prayers going up. Changed by the resurrection. Tosimi was indeed transformed by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, if he's not raised, we're still in our sins. There would be no hope for Tosimi. There would be no hope for us. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But we read in the Gospels of the supernatural power of God. The transforming power of God that is available to each one of us as we sit in this church today. Little kids, older kids. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, "I pray also that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints." Right here among us, there is a grand inheritance that works, and his incomparably great power for us, say us, would you?
Us.
For us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. That power is available for us to experience today. And I'm wondering how much you're grabbing onto that. How much you have been transformed in your life by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Resurrection Sunday. The resurrection can indeed be a challenge. It was a challenge to those closest to Jesus. They walked with him for 3 years. They heard his teaching. He told them that he would be giving his life, that he would be going to the cross, and yet they missed the resurrection. They lived during the most transforming event in history, and they missed it. Perhaps you come in here today, and you have missed it. Perhaps you come in here today, and your hope is lost. You're in good company. We will see that it was not too far gone for the disciples, and you are not too far gone this morning, that you can indeed be transformed by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We're going to go into John and spend our time all in John chapter 20 today. Bible says in John chapter 20, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, John, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. They were running. And finally, the other disciple had reached the tomb first, also went inside, and they saw that Jesus was gone and that the grave clothes were just laying there. And they saw and they believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And then the disciples went back to their homes. Hope is dead. Hope is dead. The stone was rolled away. This is a tomb from Roman times that is in the Holy Land. It is not Jesus' tomb, but it gives you an illustration of what that stone would look like. And it was on a bit of a slope, so you could close that. And the tomb that Jesus was laid in would have had slots for several people. You would have a large tomb that would be for a whole family. And what you would do is somebody would pass and it would be put in the tomb. You close the door, roll the stone in, and then somebody else years later would pass. They'd open the door, and they would make all the preparations, and then they would close that. So that is what is going on. What happened with Jesus was he was taken off the cross, and he was taken to the tomb. And he was there was not enough time for the ladies to completely prepare his body for burial. They had many pounds of spices, and they would wrap his body and put spices and would help with the smell and things like that. They had no expectation of a resurrection. They weren't waiting on anything supernatural to happen. Hope had died. Hope was lost. Peter and John run to the tomb, and they go inside, and they find that Jesus is indeed gone. And they go home. They're like a cruel joke. They killed him, and now they've taken him. Everything was looking so good just a couple of days ago. The Messiah had rolled into Jerusalem, and the people had hailed him as a coming Savior. And now he had been killed, and now his body had been taken. Hope is lost. Things were looking so good, and pow,
hope is gone.
Maybe this is you today. Maybe you have had a week or a month or a year or a whole lifetime of hope dying. Things looking good for a minute, pow! Everything just derailed. You've come to the right place today. Amen? Let's keep reading, verses 11 through 16. Mary stood outside the tomb. See, Peter and John left. Ah, we're out of here. They went back to their homes. They didn't have homes. They were back to their lodgings. They weren't even staying together. Scattered. Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. Finding hope in the midst of loss. Finding hope in the midst of despair. "Why are you weeping?" they asked. Mary is broken. There are other ladies that are there that had come to help with the preparation of the body. John only mentions Mary Magdalene by name. They are trying to keep it together, get there early on Sunday morning, and prepare that body and just kind of finish it out. Just got this little bit else to do, really expecting nothing to happen. And Mary is weeping. "Why are you crying?" There was some action going on in that tomb. Amen? And you'd think that, see, they're going, "Why are you crying, lady?" They were probably just getting done doing high fives, you know? "Hey, he is risen. He has conquered the grave. He has conquered death." There might have been a line of angels coming all the way from heaven. Amen? Going, "Ho, let's go see the tomb." They were in on it. They had a clue. They had a grip. And he had told them what was going to happen. Whew, right over their head. Totally missed the resurrection, the meaning of it. "Why are you crying? It is a time for celebration." She had missed it, but everything was getting ready to change. Amen? Amen. She turns around and she sees Jesus. She thinks he's the gardener. How much can you miss the resurrection? It's the gardener. Maybe they know where they put his body. That's missing it by a mile. Amen? And he calls her name, Mary. And in an instant, everything becomes clear. He knows your name this morning. Has he called your name? Teresa, Scott, Lisa, Dana. He'll call your name. And in an instant, the supernatural power of heaven can roll into your life. I have experienced that supernatural power of heaven many times in my life. He called my name, and I was transformed by the power of the resurrection. I was thinking this morning, how might I share with you the supernatural power of God that has so impacted my life? And I thought of the birth of my daughter. 18 hours of labor. And they call it labor for a reason. And it was so long because the umbilical cord was wrapped around her neck and she would go into distress. You know, they tell you that word, distress. You know, "Oh, she's in distress." What they mean is your daughter is dying. Every time she comes through the birth canal, she is choking to death. And then she pops back in there and she's in distress. And so it came to a point where things were going south pretty quick, and so they pull her out, doing great damage to my wonderful wife. And my daughter came out, and my mother-in-law was in the room, and she said, I was sure she was dead. She was gray. She wasn't moving. And I see the doctor just kind of basically near toss my daughter to one of the nurses. Says, take care of this, because I got to care for the mother, and I am seeing who. Things are out of control, radically out of control. And in that instant, I kid you not, in that instant, I just said, Lord, you got to handle this. These people don't know what they're doing. And right then, my baby daughter started to cry. And I tell you, the power of God in that room that day. And I tell you what, she pinked up, and I'll tell you what. You guys might have good-looking babies. You never seen. I mean, we had people that would come up, you know, tell us how beautiful our daughter was. And she looked so, I mean, all this traumatized birth, and she was just this beautiful little thing sitting right there. Paul said, I wish you could understand the supernatural power of God that is available to you. That same power displayed as he raised Christ from the dead is available to you if you would not miss the resurrection. Amen? That is available to you to come into a hospital room, into your house, into your situation where hope is lost, hope can be found when Jesus calls your name. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Are we okay? Time's okay? I don't smell any ribs? All right, let's roll on. John chapter 20, verse 18 through 20. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. I have seen the Lord. They thought she was crazy. I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together and the doors locked, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Shalom. Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And it is the message that made a change in their lives that day. A radical transformation that they would never ever be the same again. Amen? Amen? They were scattered. They had run when Jesus, they were afraid of the Jews. They barely got away from being arrested themselves on the Garden of Gethsemane. They had scattered, and it was that message of Mary Magdalene saying, he's alive. And they're going, what? They had totally missed the resurrection. It was happening, and they didn't understand it, even though we had told them it would happen. Perhaps you've missed that in your life. You have good company. The disciples all missed it. But they were going to get it right on Resurrection Day. And maybe you can get it right on Resurrection Day. Amen? Amen? It's a message that makes a change. They are gathered in fear, and Jesus shows up right in the midst of them. Locked doors were no problem for Jesus. Amen? He had conquered the grave. He had conquered death. He held the keys of Hades in his hand. Amen? So few locked doors in Jerusalem were no problem for Jesus. And I don't know what you have going on in your life today. But whatever it is no problem for Jesus. Amen? See, if you can understand and experience the power of the resurrection, if you can, like I did in that hotel room, in that hospital room, say, Lord, this is out of control. Come, heal my daughter, heal my wife, heal my family. This is out of control. That power, Paul says, is available to you. I pray that you can understand and experience that power. And I make that same prayer today for you, that you would experience that power. He showed them the nail marks in his hands. He showed them the piercing in his side where they thrust the sword. It has been said that the only stains in heaven will be the scars on Jesus' body. A constant reminder of the price of sin, of the cost of the cross, of the cost of our salvation. You sit here today and you have missed the resurrection. It comes at a great cost that you might experience that power, the supernatural power of God flowing into your life. I urge you, don't miss it today. Verse 21 to 23, again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Disciples receive a mission. Disciples would change the world. It is amazing that we sit here 2,000 years later, a halfway round the world, and we celebrate what they discovered that day. Amen? The supernatural power of God released into history. And the entire focus of these 11 men's lives would be changed because of the truth of the resurrection. Jesus breathes on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. John also talks, chapter 16, verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He guided them into truth, a truth that transformed the world. You come in here this morning, and hope is gone, and hope has died. Truth will transform your life. Truth can transform the choices that you make and how you make them each day. Truth can transform what happens in the hospital rooms of your life if you would not miss the resurrection. Amen? 2 Peter 1:21, the prophecy never had its origin in the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. These men spoke as the Holy Spirit enabled them to speak. My wife, who leads the music up here, is guided by the Holy Spirit. She says, "I am so overwhelmed by the presence of the Spirit when the music lines up with a message." But also, Aaron will stand up and open the service and speak a message that the Lord has put in his heart. And it totally lines up with the sermon and the music. And then Pastor Paul will take an offering and speak from the Word of God. And it totally lines up with what Aaron has said and the music and the sermon. And we see that indeed men are carried along by the Holy Spirit and are moved how he would move them. Amen? And so he says, if you would participate in the resurrection, you can receive that truth and that guide into your life, and you will be transformed. No longer will you be trying to add God into your situation, but you will be saying, "God, how can you add me into your situation?" Amen? Take a look at these disciples, because there are those who would say the resurrection never happened. And one of the greatest measures of the validity of the resurrection is how that resurrection was received by those closest to Christ. And Peter and Andrew and Philip were all crucified because of their faith. James had his head cut off by Herod. You read in the book of Acts. Thomas was stoned. And John was boiled in oil. They could have escaped. All they had to say was, "It's a con. It's a lie." But their lives had been transformed by the truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once your life is transformed, you'll never, ever be able to go back. And you'll never, ever want to go back. Amen? All righty, all righty. Last thing. Must be present to win. Thomas had a problem. Now, Thomas called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. I wonder what Thomas had going on. Perhaps he had a big dinner engagement. Ooh, ribs going on at the church, you know? Can you imagine? It's like, yeah, had a date with Martha, couldn't give it up. Missed the risen Jesus. Really, Martha? Was she worth it? Missed the Holy Spirit being given out. What does it take for you to miss the things of God? What does it take for you to not be present when the Word of God, the power of God, the miracles of God are happening? I don't know what it took for Thomas. The other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas, where were you, guy? We have seen the Lord. He is risen from the dead. He breathed on us. We received the Holy Spirit. And I got to think Thomas is going lower and lower and lower. Because his hope was still dead. His hope was still gone. He says, "I won't believe unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side. I will not believe it. I won't. I can't." Maybe that describes you this morning. I just can't believe it. Will you sit surrounded by many people who had felt that? Because all those other disciples, they weren't believing Mary. We don't believe it. But they saw the risen Lord. Amen? A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. I'm sticking around with these guys now. Though the doors were still locked, Jesus had the keys. Amen? Well, he actually didn't have the keys. He had the keys of Hades. I want you to misunderstand me. But he just moved right through the walls. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Thomas, put your fingers right here. Put your hand right here. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Doubting no more. Thomas had been transformed by the truth. Jesus said, "Stop doubting." Jesus said, realistically, if you take a look at the Greek there, he said, "Stop becoming an unbeliever." As you reject truth, there is only one place that you can end up, and that is a place of unbelief. Bible tells us that where two or three are gathered in his name, that Jesus is right here, right in this room. Amen. What does it take for you to believe? What does it take for you to be present and experience the Spirit of God and the power of God and to say, "Oh." Thomas didn't believe, but he wanted to believe. He was hoping to be able to put his hand into his side. Stop becoming an unbeliever. Thomas finds truth and makes perhaps the most accurate statement in the Bible: "My Lord and my God." Have you made that statement? Have you experienced the resurrection? I hope you don't miss it. You can experience the power of the resurrection today. Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Maybe you're here this morning and you have believed the message of truth. and you have been blessed by the Spirit of God.
Amen?
Amen? Transformed in your life. That's what happened to Thomas. And he said, there is a blessing that is available for those who cannot see me. In fact, he says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, which are not in the Gospel of John. This gospel is like a dart fashioned for your heart. This is written so that you can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. There is an opportunity for belief for you today. At least you can come up and play. The power of the resurrection, our Savior is here this morning. Thomas needed to see to believe. Thomas's hope was dead. Mary's hope was dead. The disciples' hope was dead, but it was transformed. And Jesus called their name. Maybe you come in here this morning and your hope, which had been dead, is beginning to flicker. Perhaps you are saying, if Jesus can touch all these people in this room, if Jesus can restore their lives, perhaps Jesus can restore my life. It is all because of the resurrection. If there's no resurrection, there's no hope for Thomas. If there's no resurrection, there's no hope for Tosimi. And if there's no resurrection, there's no hope for me. But I would stand here as a messenger of truth and let you know that he is indeed raised from the dead. Amen. That there is hope for you. Many of you, if you have no doubt that Jesus is raised from the dead, if you have asked him to come into your life, I do this as a testimony for those who come in with no hope today. You have experienced the power of the risen Savior. As a testimony to those who come in wavering this morning, I would just ask you to just slide your hand up and say, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is real. You can put your hands down. I have no doubt. He came in. He has come in so many times in my life. He has redirected my life for the last 20 years. I am radically focused on the mission and the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many of these people, you saw their hands go up, they have been radically transformed by the truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And perhaps you sit here this morning and your hope has been dead. And maybe this morning you're going, oh, if it could only be true. If I could only believe. I pray that my testimony and the testimony of those that are around you, the testimony of the disciples, the testimony of this book of the miracles of our Lord is enough to help you believe. Paul says, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, God saved him raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning. The worship team's going to come up. As I am praying, perhaps the Lord has called your name as he spoke Mary's name. As he appeared to Thomas and said, right here, put your fingers in the holes of my wrists. Put your hand in my side. Perhaps the Lord is calling out your name this morning. Saying it's time to believe. Here I am. I speak to you from heaven. I've spoke to all these others that you might come and stop becoming an unbeliever. Turn your heart. Give your life to me. That right now you could say, oh, Jesus, I give my life to you, my Lord and my God. Nobody looking around, but the Lord is indeed speaking to your heart. He did it to me in a service just like this 20 years ago. He called my name and said, I am here. I am calling you out of darkness into light. Nobody looking around. The Lord is speaking to your heart this morning, calling you out of darkness. He said, I want you to experience the power that I experienced that Sunday morning being raised from the dead. I would raise you to new life. I would just ask you to just slide your hand up. See that hand in the back? Back there, all over the place. Anybody else? See, that's me. Here. Yes. Here. Here. Let's stand. Lord, you call our name. You call Mary's name and you transform history. Call out Peter's name. Thomas appeared to him. Lord, these that have raised their hand this morning, receiving a whole lot more than they bargained for to step into this room this morning. I pray just from heaven, Lord, that you would put your arms around them, Lord, that you reveal yourself to them as you did to Thomas, as you did to the disciples, as you did to Mary. And Lord, let there be no doubt. Let them be transformed, Lord, in their minds and in their souls and in their hearts, that you indeed become Lord and God to each one of us here this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to sing a couple of songs. If you need prayer, I'll pray with you. If you ask